So, Hare Krishna, I'm sorry I'm a little late, but I was just so... I'm all right now, but I was very, very ill the last... Not ill, it was just the dental thing, you know, and a lot of antibiotics. But, I thank you that you are on time. I will really try to be on time. I wanted to start this section with asking you just a little bit, what did you learn this morning? As I was saying, these lectures are meant to be discovery lectures. I hope they are like this. We will not ask now the devotees who are a little elderly, but it's just the course members. Let us hear a little bit to share your insight. Please share your insight so that we learn a little bit from you. Not all at once.
I was reflecting after hearing about symptoms of faith, and the first being when one develops virya, which is
virya. Virya.
Virya. And how that's enthusiasm and strength, spiritual strength, and over the last few months, my son has become quite a lot stronger, and I found this enthusiasm to wake up and chant my rounds in the morning, and I didn't know where it came from, because it didn't feel like it was coming from me at all, and I was, you know, thanking Krishna and being very grateful for it, and now I realize that it's actually that my faith has got stronger. That's the symptom. So now I'm praying for the undisturbed mind, which is the next symptom, which I certainly have not got yet. And secondly, about the relationship, the process, that actually the chanting, our chanting is about having a relationship with Krishna. And I believe, from my understanding, that's Abhideya as well. It's about the process. It's not about the goal. The relationship isn't a goal. It's something that you live every day. And it's, you know, I don't love my family in order to, you know, at the end of a certain amount of time, I'm going to love them. It's an everyday, you know, it's what I do in every day and the things that I do for them every day. So. Yes,
thank you so much. Other devotees, would you like to share a little? Hare Krishna.
From my understanding of the class this morning, I developed the thought that it might not be completely right, but I hope to bring your opinion is the case. Like a athlete tends to train their body, their muscles, they straighten their bones. Someone who is an expert in anything needs to train their mind and learn knowledge and intelligence. I thought that maybe faith is the name of the strength of the soul, which needs to be nourished and cultivated in order to become stronger.
Yes, the moment you see the relationship between faith and your spiritual strengths and later your abilities to be undisturbed in mind and to be always absorbed in Krishna, the moment you see the relationship, you know where you have to work, you know, where you have to supply nourishment, where you have to give your attention to. The moment you understand that faith is there at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of your spiritual journey. You begin to become much more attentive to nourishing that faith. And Haridas Thakur offers us a good place to nourish our faith. He says it comes really also by connecting with one's spiritual master, with a personality who does have this tremendous amount of faith in Krishna and serving him. It's very interesting. Faith is a matter, or is a subject matter, which you will find in the association of the faithful. That's why in our movement we are again and again referring devotees to reading Prabhupada's books and associating with Srila Prabhupada through his vani, and then doing something in his service. There's a very nice description in the Harinam Chintamani of how serving a pure devotee immediately increases our faith. That is very, very nicely it said, in order to overcome shadow chanting and obtain the pure name, the living entity must serve the genuine guru with great attention. By doing this service, the anattas or impurities in the heart will disappear, and the pure name, endowed with all spiritual potency, will dance on the devotee's tongue. At that time, the devotee will not be able to separate himself from the stream of sweet nectar emanating from the holy name, and he will dance constantly, mad with the sweetness of the name. In great joy, the name will dance, the jiva will dance, and prema, love itself, will dance with the jiva. This will make the whole universe dance. It will force Maya to flee. So you can see this Shraddha, this strong faith, will come by the service of a genuine guru, which you do with great attention. And then the impurities in the heart will disappear. And at that time, Krishna's holy name will start to really do something with you. He will dance on the tongue, you will dance. Everything is just dancing. Wouldn't it be nice to have a less ordinary life, a life of dance, you know, spiritual dance, where bhakti is dancing, you are dancing, the name is dancing, and so on. This comes by the contact with a pure soul. I really recommend to you to find out places where you can increase your faith. Just like when we travel, we have to figure out, are there gas stations around which I can use to fill my tank, my gasoline tank? In much the same way, you need to find out, where are stations in my life where I can get more faith, where I can fill up my faith batteries, my faith supplies. Nice. Thank you for both of you for sharing your realization, and thank you so much for being there on this journey. We have made a little graphicon for you so that you can just go over this point again, which describes the journey of faith. It starts with faith in the scriptures, and faith in the process of devotional service. I think you had that. You understood this. This is, it's very important when we speak about faith. It can't just be something abstract. It must be concretely directed to a shastra and to the process. I must tell you, I'm so personally grateful for this explanation from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It helped me so much. Faith, yes, faith and what? And faith, where to put? Yeah, I believe in Krishna, yeah, yeah. But here it is how you should go about. Then, from this comes virya, the vigor or energetic endeavor to pursue the bhakti process. I remember when I was a young devotee or with young devotees, we would do anything and everything. We just didn't have any limitations because of that initial faith. Then afterwards comes smriti, an undisturbed mind. Our Mataji was praying for this. Good. It will come. Don't worry. Don't worry. One keeps one keeps the goal in mind no matter what. It really doesn't matter to you that you are in this situation or that situation, because your faith is so strong. You always have your orientation, your North Pole. And then you come to samadhi. Undivided concentration. Krishna samadhi. Oh! And finally they say pragya, that is realization, is the goal at the end where you reach this. You might like to take this and apply it to the holy name. In the evening we will talk more about this in relationship to Haridas Thakur. He had all these symptoms really. I see you're still writing, so I will not interrupt you. We will do now a little kirtan and then we will start the instruction of this morning session. Krishna Hare
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Thank you.
that, oh, there are so many. Yeah, this was is one based on a raga. I learned it from His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj. His melodies are raga melodies. And there are so many. Yeah. What melodies to play? I think that we will learn by when we do the, when you come to your in the afternoon to your instrument teachers. I can imagine that this is part of their part of the lessons which they teach you. Yeah, I mean, when I joined Krishna consciousness, I had been a music lover. My training—I can't speak of formal training—but I would listen to a lot of Bach and Led Zeppelin. This was my my training, Bach and Zeppelin. So when I came to Krishna and other music, world music, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was overwhelmed after some time by the variety of melodies. I remember in the very beginning there were just a few melodies, the morning tune for instance, but then as the movement grew, the variety of melodies grew, and I remember I made a recording of all the melodies I could get hold of, and then I gave up after some time because it's just so many. When I'm choosing a melody, then I look basically for one thing, which melody can help me to bring my emotions out to Krishna. Because kirtan means glorification. It's a devotional act. And I want that to sing those melodies where my devotional emotions and devotional feelings can be awakened and go to Krishna. When I became a devotee, I used to sing the Hare Krishna mantra to classical tunes, which I had picked up from Bach and Mozart. I used to sing that in the bathroom. At that time I was not a kirtan leader. But then one devotee told me, Mozart is in that is tamagun. And I made an investigation of it, and I think we should look for melodies which have not so much connection with rajas and tamas. I think Mozart is more in rajas than in tamas, but it's not important. It's not part of the kirtan course. thank you for your question. I think we as devotees all respond to different melodies and see which melodies can help you to bring out your devotional feelings for Krishna, that you can glorify Him. That's the main criterion. Melodies is just a sugar coating, but inside must be the holy name, the medicine. The sugar coating is not as important as the medicine. So the melodies which help us to appreciate are not as important as the pure chanting, which is done in the mood of glorifying Krishna. Now, what I wanted to do to you, this morning is, I wanted to just speak about these two resting places of faith and what it means in relationship to the holy name. I will give you a reading assignment a little later, where you will be able to read some of this, and what I read to you, you will be able to read in your own book. There's one verse in the Shastras which you will find again and again quoted in different books, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find it quoted, Rupa Goswami quotes it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes it in Harinam Chintamani. It's the verse which is most often quoted when the holy name is described. And since we are wanting to put our faith now in the statements of the Shastras, we will look at this verse a little. The verse is, those who know how to chant it can join me. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraya Nitya Mukto Puno Shuddho Vinatvang Nama Namino. It says that the holy name is like a Chintamani, it's a touchstone, which can give you everything you desire. Steve Jobs, you might know, the American entrepreneur, was a pot washer in the Boston Temple for some time. When he was poor and lived in a garage, he would always go to the Hare Krishna Sunday feast and eat for a whole week, and take things home. And to show his gratitude, he would wash the pots. And he must have chanted a lot of Hare Krishna, but maybe he had the desire to open up a big firm, an apple firm. And the holy name gave him that. The holy name is a wish-fulfilling tree, or wish-fulfiller, who can give you anything. If you are a young unmarried woman and you chant wishing to marry someone, it will work, but I don't recommend it. Thus, the holy name will give to the materialist dharma, karma, art, and moksha. But for the devotees who want pure love of Krishna, it will give that prema bhakti, that love. A very important thing is that the holy name is nitya mukta. It is free from material imperfection. Although it is here in the material world, nitya mukta means the holy name is free from the material imperfections. And it is Chaitanya Vigraha, it is eternally full of life force. The name is, but the most important quality which we learn is that the name itself is not different from the named. Krishna, in other words, the sound, is not different from Krishna, the person. And to tell us this, one Shastra, which I just recently found, gives us a very nice analogy to, in order to teach us how the name is identical with Krishna. But we just can't see it in the beginning like this. There was once a little a young girl who had lost both of his parents. She didn't know who her father was and who the mother was. And she lived in the forest by herself and just had a little friend, a bird, and lived a very frugal or modest life. She became very skinny and thin. Then she heard of the prince, a king's son, who lived across the nine rivers and the three oceans. And somehow she felt this must be a very special person. One day, her bird was missing and returned only after 2 months. And the bird told her, I was across the nine rivers and the three oceans. And I was in the palace of the prince, and he is such a wonderful personality, full of good qualities. And as this poor girl listened to the glories of the prince, a desire developed in her heart to meet him. Now one day, she was in her little straw cottage. She heard a knocking at the door, and when she opened, she saw a man dressed in valuable clothes. This man introduced himself and said, "I'm the messenger of the prince who lives across the three oceans. The prince wants to see you." "Me? I'm so poor and so unqualified." "No, he has heard about you, and he wants me to bring to him. Are you ready to come with me?" The girl said, "When?" And the messenger responded, "Immediately." So the girl gave up her little cottage. There was nothing to leave, really, not much pots, nothing. And went with the messenger. She crossed the nine rivers. And when they arrived at the bank or the border of the first ocean, there was already an arranged boat. So they went in the boat, and they came closer and closer to the palace. But as they were traveling, a big problem happened in the mind of the girl. She developed feelings for the messenger. And the longer they traveled, the more they traveled, she found out she had fallen in love with the messenger. Finally, they arrived at the palace. It was an ornate palace. The girl felt terrible. "I'm soon standing before the prince who has arranged all of this, who has brought me, who has sent the boats, who, and more than anything, he sent his messenger to me. But my unfaithful heart, my very bad heart, fell in love with the messenger. How will I look him into the eyes? How will I feel so unchaste, so very disqualified." So the messenger said, I will now go and inform the prince, and a servant will come and bring you to the into the palace. She felt, "Oh no, don't leave me, please don't leave me." But at the same time, she felt, "Maybe you should leave me." So she waited, and then a servant came and said, "Are you ready to look at the prince?" And she was in two minds. The servants led her into the court room, and there was a big throne at the end. And on the throne, do you know who was sitting on the throne?
The messenger.
The messenger. This is the analogy. Krishna comes to us in form of the holy name, but we don't recognize him as such. We think it's Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yes, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yeah, yeah. And we are not very impressed. We are finding it difficult to concentrate. But as we go on our journey, we develop more of a relationship to the Holy Name. And as this relationship became more and more embedded in us, like our Mataji, your good name again?
Abigail.
Oh yeah. Abigail?
Yeah.
Abigail, oh. Like Abigail said, it's a relationship which you start after some time. And there's a real relationship, like to the family, it's something which is constantly there. So you will also have the holy name constantly there. And at that time, the holy name will reveal himself as being identical with Krishna. I saw in my own spiritual master, I don't know if I told you yesterday, I must have told you, I saw that he was chanting even in his sleep. And in the early days, I do remember this, Prabhupada had a second heart attack. It was not a very big one, but we were all very worried. He was there in the operation theater, and the surgeons were ready to do whatever needed to be done to cure his heart. They brought the anesthesia, but no matter how much anesthesia they put on Srila Prabhupada, he continued to chant. So they phoned the temple, when will the old man ever stop? And we said, most probably never. It's a relationship, a constant presence for a pure devotee. Now, I know when we have here in our, we have our Radha Desh mellows in, it's in usually the last weekend of January maybe, then devotees have reported that because they sit so long in the kirtans, it's 2 days kirtans, they somehow by this somewhat, we could almost say forced, you know, they bring themselves by force to the kirtans, which is not difficult because they are so wonderful. By this, they in the night, the kirtan continues to revolve in the mind. Have you felt that also? Yeah, you have felt that at times. I can only recommend to you, do this, because at that time when there is a relationship developing, the next step will be that you know Krishna is not different from his holy name. He reveals himself. The messenger will take off his messenger dress and put on the princely dress and sit there. Hari Bol, I'm here for you to see. It's like this. Prabhupada, he said, when we chant, one day Krishna will be next to us and say, here I am, you called me. It's the same thing. The name will, as the messenger turns into the prince, the name for us will turn into Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigrahi, Nitya Mukto Purno Shuddho, Binatvam Nama Namino. This last line means, the name is not different from the named. So this is the philosophy. This is the Shastic information for Padma Purana, which all our acharyas repeat. They want to, there are many beautiful explanations of this verse. One of them you will learn in your reading assignment, which you will get. It's a short thing, just 2 paragraphs. The nature of the holy name. You will learn. You will find that out. And I will give you this as a task. Just 2 paragraphs. Now I would like to explain to you the process, faith in the process, because that's what we learn. And see where we are, shastras, faith in shastras, now faith in the process. And then we will make a pause. I will ask you to forget everything we said, and then we will make an exercise which you will not forget and tell your grandchildren about. And it's very powerful exercise. We will actually practice the proper chanting. We just see. I actually see we have spent an hour together. But I will just go quickly through the steps. Let me just ask my assistant. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I have a pedagogic advisor here, how to teach my stuff, because I'm not so good in that. So I suggest we make a little pause now. There's something you need to know about pauses. Pauses are very, very important because they help us to absorb more knowledge. If you just have too much information and don't make a pause, you will not be able to absorb the information. During a pause, you should ideally do something totally different than you did. You're not thinking about the subjects which you have heard. You're in fact freeing your mind so that it will become again quite elastic and fresh to absorb new information. We will start this pause very simple. Tomorrow I want to do a few mindful movements with you in the pause, where I teach you how to quickly energize your body. I would really need this, but you will all look at me and not make your pause, so I will not do this. I suggest, is 10 minutes enough? Or yeah, I think every hour 10 minutes, that's enough. So I have now on my wristwatch 11:30. I request you to be back here 20 minutes to 12. Yeah? That is also a valuable pause. You might, but I suggest to go outside. If you want to rest, there are trees. It's a valuable thing. Just do it a little in private in the shade when no one sees you. But it's a good idea. It's really good. Hare Krishna. Gerne. Würdest du was ausmachen, wenn du das anschließt? Kannst du das noch? Ja, kleine Pause.
Ja, also
du wirst sehen, du wirst total verstanden. No, I think we are here complete. So, what is with our youngest students? They, is someone taking care? Yes, someone is with the child. Good. I want to welcome you for your second part of this morning session. In the first part, we were discussing a text from the scripture, Nama Chintamani Krishna's, and an illustration which the tradition gives, which makes us understand how Krishna is identical with his holy name. Although in the very first beginning, the girl who represents the soul, whose prakriti, female energy, could not recognize the messenger as being identical with the prince, a relationship formed, and through the relationship she actually developed an understanding who he was, and then the revelation could take place. And wanted to say that in our chanting the same thing happens. We will first develop a relationship to the holy name, and then the holy name will reveal himself in his full glory. Yes?
If I can ask, we hear so often develop relationship with the holy name. What does it mean practically? What happens that way?
I intend to speak about this from the scriptures tomorrow. I'm going in a very sequential way. Today is Shraddha, but since you asked and would like to have a little understanding of a relationship, there are three things which you understand. You first need to understand yourself in order to enter into a relationship with Krishna as a soul. And then you need to understand something about God, about Krishna. And then you need to understand about how to render him service, what to do, an activity which you do. It's very systematic. You need to understand yourself and the other. And then you need to understand what you do. And these two things things are the beginning of a relationship. The understanding who you are and who the other is, that's one category. The second is how you behave in that relationship. And remember, you are a family man, and there was a time when you got to understand who your wife is. You heard her name, you most probably saw her during a festival. And then as you were approaching her, you had to think about your feelings for her. Is it the real thing? Is it worthwhile to pursue a relationship? And then you did something in this relationship. I think because you came from Croatia, you must have given her a present of olive oil or something. You must have, some activity came, and through this ingredients a relationship will start. Some words you spoke, some gifts, some philosophical discussions or whatever, some activities were done which began the relationship, and then the relationship was in a state called forming. After some time there must have been some storming in the relationship. You felt very much attracted to her, she responded to that, some storming, and also some disagreement. Why do you always think you are right and everyone is wrong, your wife might have said to you, or something like storming, some period. This happens also in our relationship with the Holy Name. We develop doubts, we develop something happens, and then comes the last stage where you settle in the relationship. Forming, storming, and then they call it norming in psychology. So these are some things on relationship, but please come for tomorrow's session if you are free. You are the dean of this college, so you must have a lot of things to do. There will be more knowledge about Samvanda. In relationship to the Holy Name, it's just you hear it, and then usually our acharyas request us to form a relationship of service whereby we chant a certain number of rounds. Maybe the beginner starts with four, then the more advanced chanter will increase that to eight, and then 16, and later this will be increased by and by, and so on. So the relationship is developing like that. Fine, thank you. Now, how to do the process? Each process starts with... You know everything. Thank you for learning it so nicely. With faith. You must have some faith in what you do. Otherwise, you just won't start. And the faith, the faith is really that Krishna is Krishna. The name is identical with Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you must chant with an attitude of affectionate respect. Affectionate respect for the name. Then the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us the second thing is we must develop some humility. Now there are, especially in ISKCON, we have to say this, because we are a movement of where we accept beginning transcendentalists in our fold. There is a material level of humility, and there is a spiritual level of humility. And I'm afraid often devotees who hear about humility take it on a material level and develop something like an inferiority complex. Is my English clear? They feel, I'm so bad, I'm so useless, I'm so unlearned and uneducated, and they torture themselves with a meditation about their disqualifications. This is not what Lord Chaitanya speaks about. There is an understanding of humility on the spiritual level. Here you think, I am a tiny part of spirit, a part of consciousness, and Krishna is my infinite master. You think less about yourself and more about Krishna. In material humility, you think more about yourself and less about Krishna. In spiritual humility means you come to the spiritual reality. You come to a vision of reality. You understand, I have nothing to do with the world of ego, the false ego. I have everything to do with the world of spirit. I'm a part, a parcel of Krishna. Very small. But this will not give you an inferiority complex. It will give you a huge relief, and it will, from the false ego and the inflated ego world. And further and more, it will give you an understanding, Krishna is so wonderful, I'm his part and parcel, and I'm his small part. Very important. You understand that this is very important, inferiority complex. Ooh, devotees have gotten this sometimes so wrong that they just became dysfunctional on the in their lives, and very much concentrated on the ego, which we call the false ego. It's not the reality. The next technique which I want to introduce is longing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us that how to do kirtan. Those of you who know the Sanskrit, please join me. Ai nanda tanu yakinkaram patitama vishame baba puro kripaya tava pada pankaja sthiti tulisa lisham vichintaya tulisa vichintaya. It's a very, very nice verse. It's the fifth verse of the Shikshastakam. O Krishna, I am your eternal servant. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into this dangerous ocean of birth and death, where the waves of my desires toss me back and forth. Kindly invest into our eternal relationship and pick me up from this ocean of birth and death. Alone I'm helpless. Only with your help is there any hope. This is how a devotee chants with a real feeling of divine longing. And the scriptures tell us, like a baby bird calls out all day for the mother to come and feed it, the devotee chants all day, Krishna, Krishna, please come. I'm alone, so helpless. Spiritually, I want your association. Or like the calf who wants to sincerely come to his mother to drink from its udder. The devotee wants to say, the nectar of life is waiting with Krishna. He chants like this. Or like a good wife in a good relationship who feels so much the need for her husband to arrive, who was absent in a long journey. Don't know if you can sympathize with these Vedic ladies who are staying together with a Vedic husband and have a very nice spiritual relationship, and the husband is absent Oh, the wife is just longing. My mother told me that my mother and my father have they're pious people by now. They were not always, but two of their children are devotees, disciples of Prabhupada. So my parents have imbibed a lot of Krishna consciousness and really love devotees over everything. They think devotees are the best people. And my mother once told me, if your father dies before me, I will not be able to stay in this world very long. I will at that time only desire to also leave the body, because I'm feeling complete with your father only. This is how chaste women think. It's a, in the modern times, I think you can also understand. Those of you who are happily married can understand this feelings of great enrichment in the relationship. It's rare nowadays, but there are some isolated cases. So this is the longing which a devotee feels. Some examples of this word has been given. The example of the bird, the calf who wants to be with the cow mother, and also the good wife who wants to be with her husband all the time. So these are examples of longing. And this longing is expressed in the meaning of the Krishna conscious, of the Hare Krishna mantra. It is a simple meaning: please accept me. So we will now request Banu Nandini to just write for us the elements of good kirtan down. First, Krishna is Krishna, or the name, the holy name is Krishna. Please write like this. Second, thank you. Second, the humility. Remember, there was a material level of humility which is dangerous. It puts you more into false ego and illusions. And there's a spiritual level. And the third is longing. Remember, there were a few examples given. The example of the baby bird, the baby calf, and the married housewife or the married wife. This is from the Bhagavatam, this last verse. And then we will add to this a process called Mantrata Chintanam, the simple prayer of please accept me. I will now ask our... we will do this now. We will, in a little exercise. But it's good if you have it on paper, because it's really a simple kirtan formula based on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mantrata Chintanam, exactly. Please accept me. If you want to write it really perfectly, your mantrata, your mantra is clear, and then it's a long A, the last one. I will just say to Parnamandini in German, M-A-N-T-R-A, like this is a langes A, bitte, and then R-T-H-A, Mantrata. The word Artha is in there, the value, you know, or the meaning of the mantra. And Chintana means to think about it. Not so easily possible, but... Let us have it. Yes, yes. Mantra. Nee.
Ja.
Ja, doch, doch, doch. Mantra. Langes A. TH. Gut. Mantrata Chintanam. This is how you write it. Thank you.
The translation is thinking.
Thinking about the artha or the meaning of the mantra. I'm sorry, I like the wherever I can even smell a little smell of the sweet French language, I'm immediately excited. Hopefully I'm not reborn in France for this. Mantra Ata Chintanam, please accept me. My dear devotees, we will now do this. I will ask Manu to come here, Gaura Hari, and I will ask you our meditative meditation. To stay, to be in contact with Gaura Hari and just musical contact. So, something not for you? I will talk. So then you just. I will talk. Then the volume of the instrument has to go down. Right? When I talk, the volume of the instrument will go down. When I don't talk, volume goes up again. Okay, so you need to worry. You can do it, no problem. I would like to now do a guided kirtan session with you. This is something new. Guided kirtan session means we will take instructions during the kirtan which we will immediately apply to our practice. Yes? So I request you to sit tall. Are you awake or do you need some exercise to get you awake? Let us just pump a little energy into our. So take your fists like this, and now on an inhale go up. Watch me. And then spread. Manu, you have to touch the ceiling. And then inhale, and when you exhale, you forcefully push all that energy which you just hold into your system. And make fists as if you want to crush a piece of stone. You know. Like really energy, the idea is energy, and you will see that it works amazingly. That is too much, really. Yeah, you want to crush in your fist the stone. Okay? This is not actually necessary before every kirtan. Not that you, where did you learn this? It's such an anatomic kirtan. He's admired. This is not a problem. It's just for us here so that you can do. Okay. Inhale. If you sweat, it's good. The more force in the hands, the better. Oh, so good. The Mataji, I won't look at you, Mataji, so you can just freely do it. Now, when you do it, continue. Try to move what is called the diaphragm. You want your whole stomach to work with this. In one. Oh, so good. Can you feel it? Thank you for the music. You have heart problems? What? Too much energy. You will need it. Okay, now. Just be very peaceful now. And it's not for fun, this exercise. You have to now see what has happened.
Hare Hare.
place in the first step of this kirtan, become aware that the name is identical with Krishna. You have the example of the messenger who is actually the prince. The holy name is the budding flower of love. When it opens fully, that flower, Krishna, carries me to Braj. It shows me its form and pastimes. It gives me a perfect spiritual body. It places me right next to Krishna's side. The holy name of Lord Krishna is a Chintamani jewel. It is the spring from which all the nectar flows. It is eternally liberated. It is pure and sweet. For sense gratification. Alone, I have no power to pick. pick myself up again. Day after day, I burn in the flames of my desires. O Master of the poor, this is what I tell you. I again long for your lotus feet. There's anyone as poor and wretched as I am. I personally have not seen anyone more disqualified. Please, be merciful to me. Give me the association of your true devotees. Give me the happiness of talking about you. I will pass my days and nights singing about your holy names. That is my desire. I now beg for the pleasantly cool shade of your feet. My dear devotees, we have left Krishna. There's no one who is pure and good in this world as long as he has not turned back to Krishna. Come to this vision of reality and sing from that place. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. last, we will add to this the feeling of longing, an appeal. When will I get rid of all my offenses? When will pure love for the Holy Name mercifully enter my heart? Please tell me, when will that day be mine? When will I actually think of myself lower than a blade of grass? When will I keep the virtue of tolerance in my heart? When will I honor everyone, but do not expect honor for myself? When will I taste the sweet nectar of the Holy Name? When will the hairs of my body stand erect? When will tears again and again fill my eyes? When will I sincerely chant Gaura, Nityananda, Gaura, Nityananda? And when will I dance and not care what others think? I will purchase the nectar of Lord Krishna's holy name, and then I will spend it. I will taste the nectar of the holy name. I will become wild. I will touch the feet of the devotees who relish that nectar. I will always swim in that nectar. And when will I develop in my heart compassion for the suffering of others? Please chant with this longing. The supreme longing is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. The meaning is, please engage me in your service. Radha Krishna, please accept me. Please sing now.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
thank you so very much. Krishna, Krishna. The time is just flying by. I don't know what happened to us. But the idea of this little part was to just learn a few elements. You will recognize them again and again during this week. And then apply them immediately during our kirtan. You can see when you chant with a simple awareness that you are addressing Krishna when you sing, you will see there is something else happening to your kirtan. The kirtan all of a sudden gets a target point. It is no longer a vibration in the void, but it is focused on Lord Krishna. It then becomes bhakti, and bhakti feelings come. When you add humility to the chanting and also a genuine feeling of longing, at that time you can actually meditate about the meaning of the mantra, please my Lord, accept me in your service. There are empty names and full names. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talked about it, and he said the living name, not the empty name, is the name which is covered with a spirit. In other words, you have a spiritual understanding and you chant from that. It's not just meaningless formulation. I'm now looking at the wristwatch because we still have something to do. I thought if we could just make a little pause. I really want to address the pause, but I noticed some of you were 5 minutes late. Maybe this is just a short pause, if it is alright for you, of 5 minutes, where we just walk up and down a little bit in the hall and so on. But I request you, even if you want to quickly use the bathroom, to be back in 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes. And why so little? 10 minutes, we need 10 minutes. Why be so German? 10 minutes, but be here on time, really. I cannot start without any one of you, because I've taken this responsibility to take you along this mutual journey. So in 10 minutes I will see you again for the last part of this session. Hare Krishna. May I request all of you to take your seats now? We have just a few more things to finish up. Thank you so much, Munishvara. Munishvara Hari. I'm determined. Yes. I thank you very, very much for going through the practice here, which is something very, very nice. All these things are given in Harinam Chintamani. And there is an article also, Nam Bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he gives these short formulas how to do kirtan. And I think the main idea of all of this is to connect. So we will leave this on so that when we do kirtan, you can from time to time just look and see if you are connected properly, and you will see something will happen. It will be one of the things which we work with and which you will find either there or somewhere here posted on the boards. I wanted to see with all of you a question before we continue. Remember yesterday we talked about Sankalpa, the inner orientation, And we talked a little bit about some examples of Sankalpa, initiation, Govardhan, Parikrama, so on. I would like to ask you a quick feedback. How well are you? Are you ready to? Did you find your Sankalpa? Did you find something which you feel comfortable with? I see you nod your head. Your good name again?
Davide.
Davide. Beautiful name. Davide. Yes. It's a very old name, I believe, isn't it?
I think it might be.
No? You have nodded your head also?
In the evening, I should have.
In the evening, yeah. You get a sense a little bit. How are Mataji's doing as far as the Sankalpa is concerned? Something is coming up for you? Yeah? Mm-hmm. I would like to take the cue of, please tell us your good name again. Rishabha Prabhu, yes, Rishabha Prabhu, who said in the evening he is ready. I would like you all to be ready in the evening if possible, because after the katha we will all go to the deities and pray for empowerment in our respective Sankalpa. The Sankalpa, I need to say one thing about it, is something between you and Krishna. It is said it loses its power when we talk about it to others. It's like a little lamp which you take out of the wind protected area into where the wind is, and then it goes. So you will never see that someone who has a Sankalpa will tell it to the others. He will protect it a little bit, like someone would protect a little aratik light in a wind still room. It's not for bragging, I'm doing so and so many rounds. When you find someone who says, I'm doing so and so many rounds, you know, well, you should also not judge him. But the idea is, you keep it for yourself. It's very, very important. Not just for yourself, but between yourself and Krishna. It's something sacred. Yes, Prabhu, your good name again? I want to learn your name.
Shridam.
Shrikant.
Yes. I have a question. Sankalpa means inner orientation, but what do you have to describe it? Is it what you want, or what your goal is, what you want?
Yeah.
So it's the goal.
I will, for instance, a Sankalpa is, I will circumambulate the sacred mountain of Giriraj one time a day, for instance. Devotees do such a Sankalpa. And then you describe it a little. And I will not eat during this time. I will only either chant or speak about Krishna, and so on. So a good Sankalpa for this Kirtan course would be, for instance, I will tell you something. I have another Sankalpa, but one year I said, I will try my best to just make Kirtan comprehensible for my students. You know, like something which reminds you, and whereby you can check yourself again and again if you are actually doing that. Sankalpa helps you to go with full consciousness into the exercise. Because sometimes without a Sankalpa, I have seen devotees said, oh, everything was so new for me, there were so many interesting people during the seminar, and I really did not have enough focus on what was actually going on, and I could have really taken more advantage if I would just have been a little bit more focused. Sankalpa is sometimes translated also to be as a vow, but I don't want to use the Sankalpa in this way. I think we have taken already vows with our initiation, and let's keep that in a special place in our life. It's just an inner orientation. You could also use the word intention, an intention that you have.
Yes,
thank you. Shrikant. Fine. So another thing needs to be said. We will have the last kirtan with Surabhi Kunj, who is one of the instrument teachers. So I'm looking at the wristwatch. I would like to give you your reading assignments also. Maybe Manu and Vlad, you could help me. Actually, we have been successful to print out the version of Harinam Chintamani from which we will work.
Yes, whoever has their binder will be helpful because we don't have time to put it together.
Yeah.
So eventually...
I think the devotees got this copy. Please show me. You got this copy, but you could just in your own free time take this, which is not relevant for this course. You could take it out. It's also nice. You can keep it, and there is an extra article in it, Naam Bhajan, which you don't have in the copy which I give you. But because you will need to work from this, please put this new thing which we give you now into your old binder. Yes, and exchange it. I thought it is nice during this course if you are also learning or a little bit from the text itself.
Is it possible that just for now maybe the full-time students can get the copies and then we can ask you to print a few more? I understand, but if it's possible, thank you.
So these full-time students, they will, we will just give them a little priority, but it means you will also get everything. But we need to really focus on this, because they will be for 2 weeks with us, you know, and they need 2 months. Oh my God, 2 months or 3 months?
2 months.
It's nothing. 2 months for the holy name. Wonderful. Thank you so much. So all the full-time students have their copies? Coming.
Who does not have a copy? Just to know how many you need to make. Four. Okay.
Four more. Fine. So the first assignment which you get, I will not ask you for any questions, because I feel you need to settle into the course, and you might be still a little bit tired from traveling, and there's so many new things. So, but I request you to read till tomorrow. It's just a very small things. Something about the nature of the holy name. It starts on page 9. You have to write it down. Paragraph 5. Page 11. It's all on that section, the nature of the holy name. It is a very nice, you will feel a little bit the language of Haridas Thakur and so on. Then the second reading assignment for you will be about the qualifications which are necessary to start chanting. We have talked about this. Please read from the 12th, page 12, third paragraph, up to the end of that chapter. Yeah? It's only, I think, 4 or 5 paragraphs altogether, but it gives us a very nice understanding. The language is quite dense. Dense means very philosophical. So I recommend you do this when you have rested, you know. Not that you do it right after your lunch prasadam, when all the blood is in the digestive tracts of your body and nothing is left for the brain, you know, to operate the brain. This will give you a little bit very first class direct information about both the nature of the holy name and the qualification for chanting. You will recognize what I have talked about because I have taken these readings myself and prepared my lecture about this. This is one thing you need. And now I would like to really request all of you, we have a teacher in Radhadesh who is very accomplished in singing and kirtan, and a first class devotee, and who will, believe it or not, the master of the Bansuri flute, Hari Prasad Chaurasia, has singled her out and wants to train her in the flute. She's really, in other words, even master musicians recognize her qualities. But for us, Surabhi Kunj is not just a nice kirtan leader, she's an excellent devotee, member of our community. On today, before she sings, we will actually sing a song for her. Today happens to be her birthday in Surabhi Kunj. While you were outside, I was training in this song, and I hope you will accept it. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Birthday present. There is a second part which I cannot tell you about, which will come later. It will not embarrass you, it will be very nice. But the first part is these beautiful and extremely inspiring plate of sweets. You can see it is done with a lot of love and a few teddy bears. Hare Krishna. So now you have to lead us in kirtan. Do you want to say a few words of how do you feel on your birthday?
Very shy right now.
Very shy, okay.
But I feel very fortunate to be able to celebrate my birthday, especially with you, Maharaj, and with all these new devotees, like friends actually, that I will get to know much better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. She is our harmonium teacher?
Kadha
teacher. Oh, that's the most important ingredient of the kirtan. Good, good. All right, then Surabhi Kunja will lead us now in a kirtan. We will have 25 minutes for this. 1:30 we will end so that you can take your prasadam. I request you to... Mantraja, yes. So, from time to time, take this, you know, we will practice a little bit with this so that it comes into our blood system, so to say. Our process. Gorahar, would you like to? So we will do kirtan now. By the way, some of you have not noticed these most beautiful deities, their names are Shishi Radha, Kanhaya Lal. Kanhaya is a name which Mother Yashoda uses for Krishna. My sweet Kanhaya, she says. Radha also addresses Krishna by that name, and Lal means a beautiful young boy. And if you come close, you will see they are really Sri Sri Radha Kanhaya Lal. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, in concluding, thank you so very much. This was your first morning session. I just wanted to say something which I feel is very important also for the evening when we all will meet together. See, when we will talk about kirtan, but the way to learn kirtan is to do it in the association of devotees. It's just like you can talk about swimming, but you really will learn how to swim when you swim. You can learn about scaling a mountain, but you will really learn what it means to have the mountain, hopefully, and on your hands, not that you don't lose your grip. You will only learn mountain scaling by doing it. And so such is the case when you sail, you can learn instruction manuals on sailing, but you will learn what it means to sail by sailing. It's not that you think yourself into doing new things, but you act yourself into learning new things. So therefore, these kirtan sessions are not just embellishments of our course, but they are the essence of our course. And it's there's a magical formula which at the very, very, very end of the 15th chapter, that's the very end of the Harinam Chintamani, is spoken by Haridas Thakur. He says that there are three things to attain one's natural spiritual life. He says one attains one's natural glory by the strength of these three things. First, to seek out the company of saintly devotees. Very happy with the attendance. You are wonderful participants, really. Then you have to look for a peaceful and secluded place to chant. I think Radhadesh in the midst of peaceful Belgium is ideal for this. And then you need to do something which I also see is present in your life, a determined attitude. I'm going to do this now. I'm spending maximum amount of time with the Holy Name. And on this last point, I would love Gaurahari to come just here. He is one of the teachers of this week. He has been traveling with me for many years, really many years, and has learned to present very nice japa sessions. And there, yesterday I was not so sure. I said something which was wrong. I said these japa sessions are optional. That means you can participate in them if you like, or if you like to sleep, you sleep. No, I have to correct myself. It's very important that you go to this japa sessions. They will help you to chant your japa in peace and with guidance and in a good association of saintly devotees in a peaceful and secluded place and with a determined attitude. So please introduce your japa workshop and where it takes place and what are the timings.
Yeah, it's basically we are chanting japa together. I'm speaking very shortly, basically time where we can go on doing our rounds, but benefit from the association of others. That I will give 2 times 5 minutes of just tuning so that we can have the best of our chanting. We will do that in the outside because we have such a good weather. We will meet, I think there is a big tree just in front of the rose garden. Yeah?
Inside the rose garden?
Yeah, the cherry tree.
Yeah, they all know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you should like arrange your carpet because there's probably cherries.
Oh yeah.
There's lots of cherries, so they might fall. Might have fallen down.
Okay.
They're right.
Yes. Is it possible to organize a carpet? Is that?
Yeah. Otherwise, your dhoti will look as if that there will be a red spot, permanent red spot from a cherry when you sit down, or the sari or whatever.
Okay, let's meet there. We'll see if we get the carpet or not. Otherwise, we might find another tree.
There's loads of trees.
Which is the timing, please?
Four. From 4 to 5.
Yeah, I also want to say, because today is still the day where you settle in. Usually we have, after the japa session, a kirtan session given by me, but today I thought we will only have the japa session. The kirtan session will start from tomorrow onwards, just so that you can settle in and be well rested and do all the things which you need to arrive. So today only japa workshop from 4 to 5, and then we will meet again. Please help me. It is 7:30. 7 o'clock is arati, and 7:30 we meet again. Obviously, you're welcome to participate in the arati at 7 o'clock. But 7:30, I really expect all of you. We will actually hear some very, very wonderful topics about Haridas Thakur, the speaker of our text. It's very good.
On the schedule, it said we were going to meet at 6 o'clock.
No, it is today at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
7:30, actually.
Mm-hmm. No, that was only for yesterday. Not for everyone.
Yeah. You please check the schedule again. The only thing today is from 5 to 6. It doesn't. We will have a pause, a creative pause. See you all back at latest 7:30. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Mm-hmm.